I hope you understood everything that I said. Huh? If not, then you have to learn Thai. It's important. Practice is important. At the moment it is not too hot, yeah, I mean use the time wisely. When we think about our life, yeah, what is it, you know, that keeps us going? What is it that we think, you know, this life is fantastic? This life is so beautiful, this life is so exciting. This life brings us so much happiness. And the first, when we look at the First Noble Truth,
yeah.
What is the First Noble Truth? Dukkha. Huh? And we don't know dukkha.
Yeah.
We know a little bit of dukkha. Yeah. But we think, you know, we have so much sukha. Yeah? We have so much happiness or so much excitement and think excitement is sukha.
Yeah.
It's happiness. Yeah. Sukha is the opposite of dukkha. The First Noble Truth is dukkha. And the better we understand the First Noble Truth, the more we are inclined to find a way out of dukkha, going to the Fourth Noble Truth, the path that leads to the end of dukkha. Understanding the Second Noble Truth, cause of dukkha. Our constant longing. When it's too hot, we long it is cooler. When it's too cold, we long it's warmer. Yeah? When there's a lot of sun, we long it is raining. When there's a lot of rain, we long for the sun. You constantly want things. Yeah? And that creates dukkha. We want this to happen, and it doesn't happen, dukkha. Yeah? We want that not to happen, and it happens, dukkha. Yeah? And when we look at every day in our life, it starts in the morning when we wake up and we don't want to get up. It's already dukkha. Huh? I mean, every day starts with dukkha. Then we are hungry, it's dukkha. Then we are thirsty, it's dukkha. Then we need to go to the toilet, it's dukkha. Yeah? I mean, when our stomach is full, you know, when we need to go and shit, you know, I mean, when it comes out, such relief, yeah? Huh? And then we mistake that for sukha. Huh? When we are tired, it's dukkha, it's really dukkha. Yeah? But when we only know the, yeah, how to avoid dukkha, you know, how to to bring an end to the dukkha in of our body, but we don't realize that this is dukkha. This is just the dukkha of the body. This is not even the dukkha of our heart. The dukkha of our heart is much stronger. It's much worse. Yeah? And this comes mostly from longing, yeah, from wanting this and wanting that. Yeah? From us constantly being in the future, painting the future. Yeah? And this future hardly ever happens, you know, that we paint. Yeah? Have you realized that? You know, I mean, the future that you plan for yourself, I mean, it has never actually happened in this way. Yeah? And in most of the time, you know, it became dukkha. Yeah? Because it didn't happen the way that we dreamed of happening. Yeah? Or then we go into the past where we thought we had some sukha, where we had some happiness. Yeah? But when we look very closely, you know, I mean, there was a lot of dukkha around that just one moment or two moments, you know, of happiness. Yeah? So, the more and the better we understand the First Noble Truth, the more we are inclined. If somebody really understands the First Noble Truth, there is nothing else, you know, for him in this life, you know, than just to ordain as a Michi when she is a woman, or to ordain as a monk when he is a man. Because we want to find a way out, because we know, we have seen it so clearly, that there is nothing else than dukkha, yeah? With some moments, you know, of happiness in between. And this little happiness, you know, this little happiness keeps us going, yeah? Just one nice moment, you know, one nice moment during the day makes our day. So little happiness do we need, huh? to make our day and to get going and always to hope that there's more of it, and there's more of it, and there's more of it. Realize the First Noble Truth, and then the better you realize it, the deeper you understand the First Noble Truth, the more you really are inclined, I mean, to spend the rest of your life to practice to overcome dukkha, to go the Fourth Noble Truth, to follow the Fourth Noble Truth, the path that leads to the end of dukkha. Then it starts with it starts with the five precepts, or you as lay people, 8 precepts, we as monks, 227 precepts, we just follow it, you know, I mean, we don't argue with the precepts, we don't try to find a way out, you know, especially when we are monks, you know, to find a way out, you know, how we can go around this precept, you know, or how can we interpret this precept so that we don't have to keep it, that we still can do what we want. No, that's not the way. No? The precepts, the five precepts, or the 8 precepts, are our guarantee that we don't go into the lower realms. Yeah? And that's the same thing for the monk. 227 precepts, and that we don't go to the lower realms. Yeah? So this is one part of the path that leads out to the dukkha. The second part is samadhi, and this is where we really struggle. Samadhi, you know, I mean, paying attention to the breath or paying attention to the Buddha. Yeah? Until there is no more thought coming up, until there is no more memories are coming. Yeah? And then we do realize, I mean, this is a supreme happiness. Yeah? The happiness that we experience in the world when our desire is fulfilled, yeah? This is a short-lived happiness, and this is not to the fullest amount. Yeah? But when we go into samadhi and there is no more thoughts, yeah? There is no more memories coming up, yeah? Then there is no future, and there is no path, there is no loneliness, there is no fear, and there is especially no wanting. You don't want anything, and that's why there is no dukkha. And we realize that very clearly. In this moment we are in samadhi, we don't want anything. We just observe and observe and observe, are with the breath or are with the Buddha and know things, yeah? And we don't want to change it. If it is hot, yeah? Sometimes when I was sitting in samadhi, you know, it was really hot, yeah? And when I went out of samadhi, I mean, my whole body was drenched in sweat. I didn't even notice it, yeah? But now we cannot even, oh, it's so hot, it's hot, let's do something, you know, let's go somewhere, cool something, and so on, and so on. No, we can't take it. But when we are in samadhi, you know, I mean, everything is fine. We don't want it to be cool, we don't want it to be hot, you know, we don't want anything, yeah? And that makes us realize, I mean, this second noble truth, yeah, this wanting or not wanting, you know, creates all this dukkha in our heart, yeah? And it is quite, it's quite a lot of dukkha that is in our heart. So once the mind is calm, yeah, then we start with, yeah, then we start with the investigation. And the most important investigation, yeah, first of all, yeah, we start with the investigation of dukkha vedana when we train samadhi. Yeah. Dukkha vedana means painful feeling. Yeah. The moment we sit for 2 hours or 3 hours, I mean, there's certainly some very, very strong pain coming up. Yeah? So we investigate this pain. Yeah? We look at this pain. Yeah? Instead of observing the Buddha or instead of observing the breath, we observe the pain. We go, you know, when we are with the breath, you know, we go around the tip of the nose. When we go with the pain, yeah, then we go to the point where the pain is the most visible or the most where we can feel it the most, yeah? And then we investigate it. Investigation is not only observing. Investigation is asking questions. Yeah? Asking the right questions, yeah? I know, yeah. I mean, people who come from Goenka retreats or come from retreats in the West, yeah, I mean, they only observe and observe and observe. And they will observe to the end of their life and nothing will change. Because we don't ask questions. We do not ask the questions, what is pain? How does pain feel? Where is the pain located? Is it area-wise? Yeah. Is it constant or is it changing? Is it in the bones? Is it in the skin? Is it in the tendons? Is it? And then we look, yeah? I mean, if we think it is in the tendons, then we go and look into the tendons. Oh, where is the pain? Where is the pain? Huh? We can't find it. Yeah? The interesting thing is we can't really find the pain, yeah? That is there. And until we come to, or close to this conclusion that we really, that there is no really pain, yeah? Yeah? The pain disappears, yeah? And the pain goes to another spot, yeah? I mean, if it was in the left knee, then it goes to the right knee. If it was in the back, then it goes, yeah? Then it goes maybe to the shoulders or to the head or wherever it goes, yeah? And then we follow it there. And then we do the same kind of investigation, yeah? And then it will disappear again and then will appear in another place. And then we should already notice this is a magical pain. This pain doesn't have any cause in the body. Any, yeah? And so we follow it until it shows us where it actually comes from. And only when we see it with our own eyes, yeah? That's why the Lord Buddha said, open your eyes and see for yourself. Yeah? I mean, we can think everything up. That doesn't relieve us from the dukkha. Yeah? We have to see it and we have to understand it. Only when we see it and understand it, yeah? I mean, then the heart will let it go. The heart has to see it. Yeah? Not our mind. Yes, everything is clear to us. Yes, it's all anatta, yeah? Ah, it's not me, it's not myself. But what are we doing? We constantly, you know, feed the self, yeah? By thinking, oh, it's not me, it's not mine, it's not myself, but we feed the self, yeah? And that is the same thing. We don't think. We open the heart and tell it to look. Look at the pain or look at feelings, yeah? Until it understands. Once the heart understands, yeah, it lets go. I know in the West, you know, we are constantly taught. And that same thing happened to me. I was practicing in the West for probably 6 years, yeah? And they all said, let go, let go, let go. I said, I can't let go. I think I can let go, but I can't let go. You know, it always comes back again, and back again, and back again, yeah? If I don't give in to it, you know, it lessens, but it still comes up, yeah? I said, now, what you teach, you know, I mean, there is something missing, there is something essentially missing, yeah? Until, you know, until I found the way to Lungta Mahabua here in Thailand, then I came, yeah? And the moment I came to Wat Babanta, I mean, I've been practicing very hard, yeah? For 6 years, you know, all sorts of things, yeah? Whatever was in the West, you know, whatever was taught in the West in the 90s, yeah? In the 80s, 90s, yeah? Was taught, you know, I absorbed it all, yeah? And then I came to Wat Babanta, yeah? Came to Lungta, yeah? And after a few weeks, you know, I realized, I haven't even started practicing yet. I mean, because it's all, you know, I mean, oh, it's so nice, you know, we are all happy, we are all so peaceful, yeah? Yeah? That's what is taught in the West. We are so peaceful, you know, we don't have any more anger, yeah? We have lots of metta, you know, but if somebody comes, you know, and tells us something, then the metta is gone, yeah? So I realized I hadn't even started practicing yet. Because I hadn't done any investigation, yeah? I mean, I only watched and watched and watched and observed, you know, observed anicca, yeah, I understood anicca, you know, I understood anatta, yeah? But I never asked any questions. Yeah? I never asked, you know, what is pain? Where is the pain? You know, how does the pain feel? Yeah? And that is investigation, that is the difference. Yeah? And about letting go, you know, I mean, yeah, you come from the West and you know the principle of letting go, yeah. And it didn't take 1 week or 2 weeks, you know, until Lungta Mahabua said, Some people think they can let go, you know? Huh? It's impossible to let go. Yeah? I mean, and then he took up an example and said, you know, there's an ant on the ceiling that wants to go to the floor. I mean, all what it needs to do is to let go. And then it falls to the floor. But the ant does not know this command, letting go. So what does it have to do in order to go to the floor? Yeah, I mean, take its feet, you know, and crawl down, you know, at the side, you know, until it reaches the floor. And that is the same with us. There is no command that can let go. Yeah, the only thing that lets go is the heart that understood. Yeah, and the heart has to be completely free of any kind of thought, of any kind of ideas. Yeah, it is something, you know, this understanding of the heart is something like when you are a child, you know, and one hand is on the fire and it's constantly hot, but your head is always in the opposite direction. And whenever you see something, that is the cause of your pain. That is the cause of your pain. But when you direct now, or when we direct our heart to the cause of the real pain, I mean, how can you imagine? Do you imagine that the child will still keep his hand over the flame? It doesn't even need to say let go. It automatically retracts it. But because the heart does not see what it is doing, that's why we have to show the heart to see what it's doing. The moment the heart sees what it's doing, that it's causing itself pain, it will let go. Yeah? But there is no command of letting go. I hope you understand. Yeah? Okay, so use the time wisely, practice, yeah? I mean, it's all what we do here. Yeah? From the morning, 3 o'clock, you know, till 11 o'clock in the night, you know, we practice, yeah? With the exception of having a meal, you know, and having a drink in the afternoon and sleeping, yeah? And after the meal we clean. And I mean, so many hours, there are so many hours that we have time to practice, yeah? It's tough. Go through it, yeah? I mean, don't think tomorrow it's better. Yeah? Oh, yesterday was so nice, today is so tough. Let's sleep today, yeah? Now tomorrow it's even more tough, yeah? Don't think about the future. Don't think, only observe the present moment, yeah? And there's, what is tough? It's the kilesas who say it's tough. There's nothing tough about having one more breath. Observing one more breath, there's nothing tough about. Having one more Buddha, there's nothing tough about it. Yeah? If you think in hours, if you think in days, you know, I mean, yes. Yeah? Oh, it's so boring, you know, and so on, and so on. But who is telling you all these things? It's the kilesas who tell you all these things. No? And you? Yes, my dear kilesas. Yes, my Lord. Yeah, whatever you say. Oh, I'm so tired. Let's go to sleep. Yes, my kilesas. Yes, my Lord. Let's go to sleep. Yeah. Oh, today this is not working out. Let's rest for a day. Yes, my Lord. Yes, yes. I mean, all our life we were listening to the kilesas, to our Lord. Yeah. To our overlord, yeah? Now let's start, you know, to reject, you know, the suggestions of the kilesas, yeah? And there are suggestions from the Dhamma, but they are not very loud, so most of the time you don't hear them, yeah? Okay? Now let's finish with it, yeah? It's not tough. It's just one more breath. Just one more breath and just one more breath.